these people.
Well, this meeting of the Senate Environment and Energy Committee will come to order. We are just the agenda. We're adjourning after this. We're just recessing until this evening when we're taking up Senate File 901. But we are going to try and get through these bills, and they may be. We are not going to take up the energy bill this afternoon, even if we have time. These bills, I'm not sure how long they're going to take, but we may be out of here before 2:30, which would be nice. Senator Saxhog, we're going to begin with your bill if you're. Yes, you are. Welcome to the committee, Senate File 698.
Read what he said to me.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'm assuming that these bills are going to go rather quickly, although yesterday I thought they were going to go very quickly, and they didn't go so quickly. So, but 698, Mr. Chair, is a bill that provides for an invasive species training exemption for certain water-related service providers. And with me today is Joel Carlson.
Okay. While Mr. Carlson's coming up, I believe you have an author's amendment. Senator Herr moves the A2 amendment that I believe is in our packets.
Mr. Chair, and I'm going to ask Bob Meyer from the DNR to explain.
First, we'll adopt the Herr motion to put the bill in the shape you'd like it in. Any discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails.
Mr. Chairman, members, for the record, Bob Meyer, Department of Natural Resources. This is some language we have been working on with the Congress of Minnesota Resorts and other resort owners. It's basically a technical correction dealing with our lake service provider training. And the technical aspect of this is if you own a resort and your son or daughter comes home for the weekend to help you pull docks out and they aren't going to be leaving that water body, right now, technically, under law, they would have to be taking the lake service provider training we have online. It takes about 45 minutes. There's a series of tests that outlines the requirements of washing docks, boat lifts, boats, temperatures, things like that, time of draining. What we're proposing to do here, and the amendment does actually, it just says a person working for a permittee that is a resort need not complete the training under paragraph C if the water-related equipment or structures removed or installed remain on the property owned by the resort and are only removed from and placed into the same water body. So we're providing some flexibility for these mom-and-pop resorts. It makes sense to make sure we can do whatever we can to help them comply with our laws. They are the kind of first responders, so to speak, training people out there on these AIS issues for us. So it's just a technical correction, Mr. Chair.
Is there anyone in the audience who wish to speak to the bill? I'm going to try and ask that better because I know we've had some people who said they didn't have a concern. Are there any questions from members of the committee? Senator Osmond.
Just a question more for housekeeping. Are we moving these bills or are we laying them over for omnibus?
This one would be on its own. The next two are lands bills that would be folded into the omnibus lands bill, which is Senator Herr's bill. So this one is on its own, and this also, I believe, has to go to finance.
So just the Herr bill is the only one that's being laid over?
No, the Herr bill is the one that would be the omnibus bill that the Bach and Tomasoni bills would be included in if the committee so desires.
Okay, so the next three are just layovers.
The third one is the one that would move. I'm sorry, we are going to take action on Senator Herr's bill, Senate File 886. That's the omnibus lands bill. He took it through subcommittee, went through about 20 lands bills, and they're all in there. And the Bach and Tomasoni ones, if the committee feels they should be included, they came later, they would be included in that if the committee chooses, and then that bill would pass out, Senate File 886. So the bills we would be passing out if the committee desires, say, would be this one, 886, and 895.
Mr. Chair, I'd move the bill.
Senator Osmond moves the bill. Any further discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. What?
It's going to the
motion is that the bill as amended is recommended pass referred to the Committee on Finance.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Next bill, we have Senator Bach. Is somebody here for his bill?
I'm the co-author on that. Senator Bach is indisposed and asked me to, if you don't mind, Mr. Chair, to take Senate File 961. This bill is, as you you and Senator Osmick were talking about, is Senator Herr's bill, but there's a couple of late entries, and one of them is from Lake County for their omnibus lands bill, and I have the A1 amendment, which will be a late entry for Itasca County that I'd like to have moved.
Senator Weber moves the A1 amendment to put the bill in the shape the author wishes. And a technical amendment to be incorporated into this?
Yeah.
Mr. Chair, I was hoping that Kathy Lewis and Mr. Knopf could work this out in just a second here.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, I think I know what we need to do here.
He thinks he knows. Okay.
No, I know.
He's confident he knows. Mr. Knopf, do you have a technical?
Mr. Chair, it's my understanding, I was just told this at the beginning of the hearing, is that this is on shoreland, and that was not, when drafting the original amendment, it was not, I was not told that this was on shoreland. So what we need to do is we need a couple of more exceptions. So if you look on 1.4 of the amendment, well, actually, let's start on 1.3. After land on 1.3, we need to insert bordering public water in the head note. And then on 1.4, after notwithstanding, insert Minnesota statutes sections 92.45 and 282.018, subdivision 1, and. So it'll read, notwithstanding Minnesota statutes, sections 92.45 and 282.018, subdivision 1, and the public sale provisions of Minnesota chapter 282, Itasca County may sell. That's the normal language we use when it's on public water. So this is a private sale of land on public water.
Okay. Senator Weber incorporates that language into the amendment. It's a technical language because it's preparing land. Okay. On the A1 amendment as modified with the incorporation, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. Motion prevails. Senator Saxog, you have two provisions now in your bill.
Right, Mr. Chair, you have a county board resolution and a letter from the DNR in support of the Itasca County request. And then with me today for the other part of the request is Matt Huddleston, Lake County Administrator, and he's going to make some brief comments on their entry into the bill.
Okay, welcome.
Hi, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Matt Huddleston, County Administrator for Lake County. I'll just try to keep my comments brief, and if there's any questions, I can go into more detail. But we have essentially six parcels that we're looking for authority to be able to sell. Three of those parcels have riparian water frontage on them, so we need the authority. those parcels we are looking to sell to continue to try to pay off $6,000 purchase that Lake County made for the Claire Nelson Memorial Forest back in 2006 for $1.9 million. We actually stepped up to protect critical moose habitat, reduce parcelization, and consolidate our lands back at that time when we were encouraged by a number of conservation agencies or conservation entities and other state entities. So we're continuing on our plan to try to identify other pieces that don't fit our ultimate plan and sell those. The other three pieces are three 40-acre parcels that were identified through a data center feasibility study that was conducted in our county. These were identified as the premier spot to try to do this. We've engaged a marketing firm to try to find willing participants to build a data center in our county, and we are looking for the authority to sell this publicly or privately. And if we do sell it privately at less than the appraised value, as long as it is used for a data center or other economic development purpose approved by the county board, with a reverter clause, if it's not used for that, that it would go back to the state. And that is trying to keep it short. Be open for any questions.
Okay. Question, Senator Scalzi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I notice in this resolution from the Itasca County Board of Commissioners, you're talking about to help facilitate acquisition of a public access on the adjoining lake at a much more desirable location. Was there a public access?
Senator Scalzi, this is, we got two oh. provisions here.
Okay.
Let's finish the Lake County one
okay.
first, since we start with
we
that, and then
that.
We'll
Sorry.
Go on that. Are there questions from the... Oh, Senator Brown had a question.
Well, I had it on the whole.
Okay,
so
I wonder if the DNR is here.
Right.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you comment on this first, and then we'll ask about the other one as well?
Mr. Chair, members, Kathy Lewis, Lands and Minerals DNR. The DNR has gone through and reviewed the Lake County parcels and has no concerns or objections to the legislation.
Are there questions from the committee, further questions on the Lake County one?
I have one.
Senator Eaton.
My question is, how much shoreline is this? I don't understand these.
Mr. Chair, Senator, on the three 40-acre data center parcels, there is a small tributary to the Knife River that, honestly, if you didn't know it was there, you probably would walk over it, as we did when we were initially out there. We are putting an easement on it for the state for access to it to protect that. On the other three parcels, on two of them, there's a very small tributary, and one of them, there's a very small lake that really has no public access or nothing on it.
Okay. So, thank you.
Further question about the Lake County provisions. Itasca County provisions. Did you have the letter here from DNR, and this, we have more comments on, so this is 150 feet of frontage?
Over.
What? Over 150. I guess. Go ahead, ma'am.
Mr. Chair, members, this is a parcel that actually has about 1,370 front feet on Diamond Lake in Itasca County. It's near the city of Bovee. And the remaining undivided interest in the property are privately owned, and the county wants to be able to sell the undivided interest that did forfeit to the current owner of the remaining interest. And the DNR reviewed the parcel and had no concerns about the sale.
Questions from the committee? If not, Senator Weber moves to lay this bill over as amended for possible inclusion in the HER bill. Senator Brown.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I just have a quick question because I know very little about this. Why does this take legislative action?
Because, Mr. Knapp, about the riparian land, can you explain the law?
Mr. Chair and Senator Brown, there are two reasons that you'll see in the Senator HER bill and these other bills. One is if it's a private sale, even if it's not on shoreland, that requires legislative approval. There's also a prohibition of selling shoreland. Tax forfeited land over 150 feet for state land, it'd be basically any size, I think, if I remember right, it needs legislative approval before that sale can go forward. And it's to protect to ensure that the state isn't selling land that could otherwise be used as a public access in the future. It's kind of to protect that.
Senator Eaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm wondering if there are any restrictions as to what this land can be used for. Is there any protection for, like, if a big condo or something was put up there? I don't know this area.
Mr. Chair, members, the property will become subject to the local zoning laws, so they will have to abide by the zoning laws for setbacks and building standards. On occasion, when the DNR reviews parcels, it does ask for easements for water habitat, fish habitat, and you'll see some of that language in the Omnibus Lands Bill. We did not ask for that for these parcels that you see before you. So we kind of do an assessment for resource purposes, too, when we look at the parcels, make
Thank
a recommendation.
You.
And Mr. Huddleston had said in the one that they had put an easement on part of it, the county had? Just quickly. I'm sorry,
Mr. Chair. Yes, on the three data center parcels, in working with the DNR, easements were put on all those pieces, I think about 75 feet on either side of the stream for protection or access for people that want to fish.
Okay. Thank you. Then Senator Weber moves Senate File whatever, Senate File 961 as amended be laid over for inclusion into the Senate File 886. Any discussion? Not all those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members.
Thank you.
Senator Tomasoni here, or somebody who's, he is here. St. Louis County tax forfeited land. Senate File 1186, I'm sorry. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members. Senate File 1186 is it's a bill that's authorizing both private and public sales of certain tax forfeited lands. There's about 20 parcels in the bill, and I think the DNR is signed off on all of them with the possible exception of the Stone Lake one, which is starts, I think, on line 1.23, and they would like the county to hold off for about 6 months on it, but I think other than that, everything is ready to go.
Ms. Lewis, did you want to comment on that one?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, the department did review the parcels, and you'll see in this bill that there are several provisions for the easement under 282.37. As to the Stone Lake parcel, which is described starting in line 1.23, the DNR has requested to purchase that property from the county at market value because there's a primitive carry-down site down to the lake, and we want to purchase that for a public water access site. And under the current state law, once that request has been made, the county will hold off for 6 months for a sale as we work on the purchase of the property. The county did talk to us about wanting to have this in the bill in case we don't reach agreement so that they could offer it for public sale, and that was acceptable to the DNR with the understanding right now we're going to be working with the county to purchase it at market value.
So, in other words, if you cannot come to an agreement, then they'd be allowed to, if you decide not to purchase it, they'd be allowed, in 6 months, they'd be able to do so under this.
Mr. Chair, that is correct.
Mr. Ungaro?
Mr. Chair and members, for the record, John Ungaro, Government Relations Director for St. Louis County. I'm here to just help answer any questions you may have. As Senator Tomasoni said, there's approximately 20 parcels included in here, and it's the usual garden variety of parcels that need to come into compliance so that they're buildable lots, and trespass issues, as well as correcting any surveying mistakes that had occurred in the past to bring these lots also into conformity.
Discussion from any members of the committee? If not, Senator Weber moves Senate File 1186 be held over for inclusion in the Omnibus Lands Bill. Further discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Senator Hurt, Senate File 886. And Senator Hur moves the adoption of the subcommittee report to put the bill in the shape that the subcommittee completed the other night. Is there any discussion on that motion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Senator Hur,
yes,
go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. The Senate File 886 is a 2013 omnibus state land bills that include provision requested by the Department of Natural Resources and counties in selling or otherwise convey certain state lands, including state forfeited lands. And I have two amendments that's for this bill.
Okay. And plus we have the two others. For members, the bill summary of the subcommittee report lists where each of the sections of the bill came from, whose bills they were, what the Senate found numbers were. The committee went over these, so I don't feel a pressing need to go over them unless the committee has concerns about any of them or whatever. Okay. And then, Senator Hur, you have the A3 amendment. You or Ms. Lewis want to speak to that?
Yes. Ms. Lewis, can you speak to C.
The A3 amendment?
The A3 amendment.
Oh, we have a county commissioner from Carlton County. I'm sorry, I missed your name, sir, if you could.
Greg Bernier.
There it is.
Greg Bernier.
Yep, three years.
Oh, 3 years. Okay.
Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself and begin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Gregory Bernou. I'm the land commissioner for Carlton County.
If you could just go ahead and explain the amendment.
Yes, Mr. Chair. The amendment A3 as presented is negotiations between the Carlton County Board, the Reservation Business Committee of Fond du Lac, and other interested parties. The purpose of this bill is to revisit laws of 1985, whereby the legislature back then gave the counties of Carlton and St. Louis the ability to sell, after review by DNR, lands first to the Fond du Lac before offering for public sale. The Carlton County Board at the time had a difference of agreement with the Fond du Lac Band of Chippewa, and have since worked those problems out with my current board chair and chairwoman Diver of Fond du Lac. The band asked us to revisit the laws of 1985. We are offering that up. The point of contention was the three parcels that are added in this amendment, which currently have hunting cabin leases on them. The county board and the Reservation Business Committee for Fond du Lac agreed that it would be opportune to offer those persons who have hunted these lands for, let's just say, time immemorial, which is 40 years.
Glad to have a definition of time immemorial. Oh.
The ability to purchase their hunting cabins on an equal basis as Fond du Lac. They were omitted in the original bill under my I goofed up.
Okay. Is there discussion? Did DNR have any comments on this?
No, Mr. Chair, members, the DNR has reviewed the proposal and has no concerns.
Is there anybody else in the audience who had any concerns about this? Is there any questions from members of the committee? Senator Scalzi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was just curious. Under state law, evidently it goes first, the option to Fond du Lac, and then to the hunting cabin owner leases, or how does that work?
Mr. Chair, ma'am, under state law, there's the laws of paragraph 282 govern how counties sell land. And first off, if there's a state forest located within that county, the DNR must review those properties before we can even offer them for sale to anybody. So the DNR's had a chance to review all these parcels. And now I've asked for the permission to first stop. If the DNR does not want to purchase a particular 40 per some other action that the committee here has gone through today, the next thing we're asking for is Fond du Lac to have that ability to buy lands. Then after that would be the public. So similar to what the state is asking for, we'll offer to the state first. They say no. We'll offer next to Fond du Lac, get appraised. They'll say no. Then it'll go to public auction. Save the three parcels in the amendment, which we want to offer at equality to both Fond du Lac and the current lessees.
Mr. Chair?
Senator Scalzi.
So how would inequality, what does that mean? Who gets the first right to purchase those three that you've saved out?
Mr. Chair, Senator, in those three parcels, it is the intention of the county board to offer those by seal bid to both Fond du Lac and to the lessees, and whoever has the highest bid wins. If neither party bid on that, then they will go to public auction.
This bill?
Yeah.
Bill Haynes' bill?
And to support that, the Fond du Lac Band is fine with this amendment.
It was really helpful to hear how long time immemorial is.
40 years.
Is there further discussion on the A3 amendment? If not, all those in favor say aye. Oops. I'm sorry. This amendment or the bill? Wait.
Oh, the bill.
The bill would have to go to finance. Yeah, this is amendment to Senator Herr's bill.
Okay.
Further discussion of the A3 amendment. If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, committee.
There is also an amendment, A4 amendment for section 2022.
Section 20, and that was sale of
Steve's
land, board, and public water
Stevens County.
Yes.
and there's amendments coming around.
Okay. Do you or Ms. Lewis want to explain?
Can you explain or we don't have the amendment?
Oh, you need the amendment.
Mr. Chair, members, this is a property that is adjoining a public water access site managed by the DNR in Stevens County. The property at question actually has a road going through it that goes to the public water access site. And the DNR has had an agreement with the adjoining land gun club for some maintenance of this particular property, and they brought in the request to purchase the property. The DNR has had subsequent discussions since the subcommittee hearing, and the amendment brought forth is the DNR's offer back that the DNR would sell the property to a local unit of government for no consideration, with a reversion clause that if the property is not maintained and open to public use at no charge, it would revert back to the state. It would also include the reservation of a road easement so that the public can continue to get to the DNR water access site. And so this is an amendment is acceptable to the DNR.
And the DNR was negotiating with the Stevens County on this one or with the gun club? Or who were these negotiations with?
Mr. Chair, members, the discussions occurred with the Senator Westrom's office and with the gun club, and I'm not aware that there's been specific contact with the county themselves. It may be more likely that the city or township would be the local unit of government that would be conveyed the property, but those discussions still need to occur.
But this is an agreement now, and the DNR is comfortable with the provision with that.
Mr. Chair, that is correct.
Is there further questions from the committee? Senator Weber.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Westrom and the gun club or sportsman's club, whichever one it was, I don't remember, they are in agreement with this too, did I hear you say?
That's correct.
That's the best of mine. Is that?
Senator Westrom is.
Mr. Chair, members, Senator Westrom is in agreement to it.
Okay.
Is there further discussion of the A4 amendment?
Senator
Sieben.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Perhaps I'm missing something, but isn't the land being conveyed to the local unit of government? And if the local unit of government is the city or township, I heard that they didn't, from what the DNR just said, they don't, no one knows if they support this or not?
Mr. Chair, I'll have Stan Linnell come up. He's been involved directly in the discussions.
Welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself and help enlighten us.
Thank you. Stan Linnell. I'm the Boat and Water Recreation Manager for DNR. There have been initial discussions with a couple of township board members as well as the county coordinator. There have not been any formal board actions at this point. It appeared initially that the township may not be interested, but they haven't seen this exact amendment, so that was not, again, a formal action that the township took. The county coordinator thought the county might be interested in something of this scope, so it would be certainly subject to the county or the township coming to an agreement that, yes, they do accept the terms and conditions of this offer.
So, Mr. Chair.
Senator Scalzi.
So, neither of the governmental units are sure that they're interested. And then my question is then, would the DNR no longer have any interest in the public access?
The DNR does have interest in maintaining a public access into perpetuity, and we would retain that with this amendment. If the township or the county were not interested in acquiring this parcel of land, the DNR would then maintain the ownership of that.
Senator Weber, I'm sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm trying to think back to our subcommittee meeting that night, and so don't have my notes in front of me from that. But wasn't it the decision of the subcommittee for the land to go to the Sportsman's Club at that point in time? Am I correct on that?
for further discussion.
In the committee, you were discussing it, and it was tentatively there. You've been involved. Has Senator Westrom's been involved in the discussion since that time? Okay. So, in other words, you put it in there, but there were some questions being raised, and so questions were between DNR and Senator Westrom.
Yes, that's correct. Yep.
Okay. And Senator Westrom is okay with this, and the DNR is okay with this. So, in other words, that's what there was an attempt to come together with concerns. Okay.
Yes.
Is there further discussion on the A4 amendment? If not, Senator Herr moves the A4 amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. We have two other bills that we just adopted a few minutes ago. Senator Weber moved the contents of Senate File 961 as amended and 1186, which I don't think was amended, be added on to Senate File 886. Is there further discussion of that? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Senator Hoffman, we're going to take up Senate File 895.
Thank you.
Thank you, members and Mr. Chair.
The bill? I'm sorry, the bill has
to go. See, you have to move
we have
it
not. We didn't move the bill. I'm sleeping at the switch.
That's when they're back.
Senator Herr moves at Senate File 886 as amended be recommended pass and sent to the Committee on Finance. Further discussion on that motion? Not all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails.
Okay. I'm accoladed.
Thank you. Thank you for chairing the Lands Committee. Despite all the interest here today, when we were trying to get Lands Committee subcommittee people who wasn't wild enthusiasm. So thank you for taking this. Senator Queen, can you share?
Well, sounds like it. I'm still not sure I like it. Yeah. No, I mean, it's going to be a local unit of government.
Sorry.
They will buy it.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I wrote that down because that's what the DNR guy said. They don't want it in the DNR. Because they have to go through this.
Okay, the committee, the next bill on the agenda is Senate File 895, Senator Hoffman.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, thank you for allowing me to be in front of you again. And today we're going to hear Senate File 895. And really, this is a bill that reinstates and provides funding for the Renewable Energy Equipment Grant Program that was first established in this legislature in 2007 to make grants to providers of low-income weatherization services to install renewable energy equipment in households that are eligible for the weatherization assistance. Under Minnesota's Weatherization Assistance Program. And so the renewable energy grant programs were successful that provided approximately $150,000 a year to the Community Action Programs, CAP, another acronym for us, around the state to install renewable energy equipment, such as solar thermal heating equipment in homes that were receiving weatherization assistance to provide a long-term reduction in heating costs in those homes and thus reduces the amount of taxpayer-funded heating assistance funds needed for those homes on an annual basis. So win-win. Jason Edens, Executive Director of the Rural Renewable Energy Alliance, REAL, is here to provide testimony in support of this bill. You're also going to hear from Lynn Hinkle, Pete Paris, and I think Davis Mills as well. So members and Mr. Chair, Jason Edens.
Thank you.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Jason Edens, and I work for a nonprofit organization called the Renewable Energy Alliance, or REAL, and we are based in Senator Saxhog's district in the very small community of Pine River, Minnesota. Although we are a nonprofit organization, we are actually a solar thermal manufacturer and a solar design build firm, and we've been in business since 2000. And we've been pioneering and advancing the solution of delivering solar heat to low-income families on the Public Energy Assistance Program as a domestic, long-term and clean solution to low-income fuel poverty. I'm sure all the members of the committee are well aware of the fact that energy assistance is a very important social service. However, it is very much of a short-term solution. Of course, the state of Minnesota spends approximately $100 million each and every year providing energy assistance to approximately 125,000 low-income families. And again, although this service is very important, unfortunately, it's only providing an annual solution. And if the state of Minnesota, a cold climate, is receiving $100 million annually, of course, other states are receiving similar amounts. So although energy assistance is important, our organization is advocating a longer-term solution, and we believe that solar heat is part of that solution. Over the course of our existence as an organization, we've had the pleasure of working with about 300 families and permanently moving families from a position of, you know, essentially moving families from impoverished to empowered using a clean energy source. So we feel that that our nation can do much better, our state can do much better in terms of addressing the needs of low-income families. So I really appreciate your willingness to hear Senate File 895, and of course I would like to thank Senator Hoffman and Senator Saxhog for authoring this bill.
Okay, Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Next is Lynn Hinkle, who's the Policy Director of the Minnesota Solar Energy Industries Association, MNSEA, and he's here to also talk about the bill.
Okay, welcome to the committee, Mr. Hinkle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'll repeat. For the record, my name is Lynn Hinkle. I'm Policy Director for the Minnesota Solar Energy Industry Association, and I'm here to support Senate File 895. It's a delight to see the reemergence of the renewable energy equipment grant discussion and provisions that did so well in 2007. Provisions of this bill support a simple, proven technology, solar air heating, and an innovative nonprofit business model targeting low-income citizens in rural Minnesota. This model is being used in other parts of the country, like Vermont, Maine, Massachusetts, and North Dakota. It's a recognized best practice. Real product pairs well with weatherization and other energy efficiency measures to provide a sustainable answer to budgets that are challenged by energy cost. Secondly, this bill helps support a northern Minnesota manufacturer that employs 15 plus direct folks in the manufacture of this product and has manufacturing suppliers all over the region in Minnesota, and these corresponding good paying jobs at firms such as Solar Skies, Stern Industries, Minnesota Insulation, and 3M, to name a few. Please support Senate File 895. It's good energy policy. It's good jobs policy. Thank you.
Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you, Lynn, for your testimony. Davis Mill is the director of Otter Tail, Wadena Community Action Agency, and he drove in all the way from New York Mills. And, you know, I remember the basketball tournament years ago. You had a famous Janet
Carvin.
Carvin, thank you very much. Welcome.
Well, thank you for allowing me to come and speak before you, Mr. Chair and committee members. I am the executive director of Otter Tail Wadena Community Action Council. And back in 2004, we partnered with REAL to demonstrate whether or not weatherization teams could install appropriately solar air heating systems on weatherized homes. It went so well, I think at that time we did 6 homes. We entered into an agreement with REAL to set up a pilot program through another grant, a MINRAM grant, to demonstrate that you could train the weatherization auditors to be able to assess the sites and develop a plan for installing solar air heating systems on homes that had already been weatherized. Again, that program demonstrated that our auditors and our contractors, we had our contractors trained at the same time to do an assessment and installation of these units, and it was very beneficial. After we demonstrated that that could work, we worked with the Department of Commerce to put together a $2.3 million CERC grant to demonstrate through 9 community action agencies that you could do this on a larger scale. and I believe we ended up installing units on 213 homes. So we have a proven system that can work within the state through our weatherization departments within community action agencies. We've been around for 39 years doing this and have done a good job with it. Weatherization, when we go into a home and weatherize that home, we reduce the energy burden in that home by 32%. If we come in and add a solar air heating system to that home, that can reduce the energy burden by another 15 to 20%. So for that particular home, you can reduce the energy burden from 30 to 50%. I don't know of any other program in the state that can demonstrate that. And that's a permanent savings that stays with that home. So I'm encouraging you to really consider the fact that we're using a renewable resource that has a permanent impact on the community and on that household. I think we also have to see that that not only helps the family, but it also helps the utilities in that area because they don't have to supply as much energy to that home through the use of the solar air heating systems. And it also reduces the carbon footprint in that community. The other thing we found is that using this technology, we've created new jobs. Our contractors, we use local contractors to do our weatherization. They've all been trained to do the solar assessment and installation, which has given them a new product and job that they can do for others out in our community. And many of our utilities are now working with these contractors to have them install these units on other homes than our low-income families. So I think it has had a very big impact on creating new jobs in our community. But one of the big things is we found our clients are satisfied with what they got. I think close to 98% of the homes that we've installed these on, the homeowners are pleased with the results. Two winters ago, I went into a home in Perm where we'd put in a solar air heating system. It was minus 18 outside. And the woman who owned the home was in her late 70s, and her living room was at 72 degrees. And it stayed at that all day, as long as we had sunlight. And her heating system didn't have to go on at all. And it was comfortable for her. This type of a program where you can begin to install this technology can help families of seniors, those who are disabled, or families where young children are still in the household. So I think it's an incredible opportunity for you to do a lot of good for Minnesota through this particular bill. And I think I want to reassure you that there's adequate oversight by the Department of Commerce to see that these heating systems and weatherization are done according to federal standards. It's an incredible program. In 40 years of being in this business, this is the only program I know that has to show a cost benefit before they start to initiate energy savings. And we're still researching that on the solar air side, but I think it's going to come out very positive. So I encourage you to support this bill. Thank you.
Right. Thank you, Mr. Mills. Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Next, we have Pete Paris, who's here to testify on 895 as well. So welcome, Mr. Paris.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, committee members, my name is Pete Paris. I'm the political director for the Sheet Metal Workers Local Union. Thermal air is what we're very much in favor of. That's what most of our members do, is install air handling systems. We've been involved with weatherization for years and years and years, even before it was PC or green. We were installing furnaces that were lower percent efficiency to higher percent. This just kind of adds right to what we want to do. It's ductwork, which ends up being we make that right in our shops and we install it, so it's a lot of work for our members. So we do support you to support House or Senate File 895. Thank you.
Okay. Senator Brown, did you have a question?
I can wait till testifiers are done.
So. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Paris. Senator Hoffman?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. One of the things that it does is that the long-term reduction in heating costs in these homes reduces the amount of taxpayer-funded heating assistance funds. I think it creates a win-win that wasn't there before. So I'll stand for any questions.
Oh, okay. We Senator Hoffman, we have one more testifier.
Oh, I just, okay, I'm sorry. I had, my bad. I only had these four. So.
Mr. Chairman, Senators, Peter Brookwoody, Director of Government Affairs for the Department of Commerce. I wanted to first thank Senator Hoffman for bringing this forward. This is a proposal that we've been in discussions with the authors and the advocates about for a couple of sessions now. The Department of Commerce does have some concerns about the bill as it is currently drafted, not on the policy, but rather on the funding mechanism. The current law, as you have before you in the bill, allows for three statutory uses of the petroleum inspection fee, the first of which is to fund the operations of the Weights and Measures Division. Currently, the 81 cents that are authorized under the law are being used to fund Weights and Measures. It is its sole source of funding for the entire division. And so we do have some concerns, and we've been working with the advocates to work on the language that, as it is currently drafted, this would come out of the Weights and Measures budget in order to fund the weatherization grants. And so we're trying to work on a compromise solution to try to hold Weights and Measures harmless with this proposal. So I just wanted to be on the record for that, Mr. Chairman, and I'll be happy to stand for questions. I know this bill does have to go to finance, and it is primarily a finance issue that I'm raising. Just wanted to make members aware of it.
Mr. Chair, thank you, Mr. Chair, and Mr. Brookwoody, thank you for bringing it up. That 4 to 5 cent difference, it was our intention, and I'm glad you brought it up because that definitely is a finance issue, and as soon as it gets in front of Tomasoni, the fix will be there. So thank you. Yep. Stick around for questions.
Okay. Senator Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Senator Hoffman, what is the fix? Because that's a concern of mine also.
The overall fix or the 4 to 5 cent fix? Yeah, it's what Mr. Brick already brought up regarding the weights, the division of weights and measures and the petroleum monitoring. So Mr. Brick, what do you feel?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Brown, what we have been discussing with the advocates and with the authors in both bodies is the proposal that is as it currently is written would take 5% out of the current 81 cents of every dollar for 1,000 gallons that goes to these three sources. Currently, that 81 cents is being used to fund the Weights and Measures Division. What we've been talking about is trying to find a way to have it not come out of 81 cents, but rather to propose having it come out of the 19 cents that is currently going to the general fund. That's what our discussions have been centered around.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, I think, Mr. Chairman, I think we've done the math in talking with the advocates. I believe the 5% as it's listed here in the bill is roughly equivalent to 4 or 5 cents additional. So.
Okay, Senator Sieben.
Well, Senator Brown, did you have a follow-up?
Well, you can go ahead.
Well, Mr. Chair and Mr. Brickwitty, current statute says that you're supposed to use 81 cents for the weights and measures, petroleum supply monitoring, and for these grants. So, but what I'm hearing you say is that right now the Department of Commerce is only using the 81 cents for the division of weights and measures and just ignoring the other two parts of the existing statute.
Mr. Chairman,
describing how you use the money.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Sieben, the language related to weatherization grants and petroleum supply monitoring were added into the statute, I believe, in 2009. The Department of Commerce has, as was previously testified to, operated a grant program for weatherization grants. However, the language is discretionary. Prior to my time at the department, the Weights and Measures budget became solely reliant on this source of funding. And so the language is discretionary. And so the department at current funding levels uses the 81 cents for the Weights and Measures Division and does not currently operate a grant program for weatherization or use any of the funds to do petroleum supply monitoring as is allowed under the statute.
Mr. Chair, it doesn't look like it's discretionary, but I'll take your word for that, I guess. But it seems just unfortunate that there isn't some of this already happening, if that's what the legislature was directing the department to do.
And Mr. Chair, Senator Sieben, the Department of Commerce's weatherization program, which has an alternative funding source, is engaged with many of the folks that you see here on doing weatherization programs around the state currently.
Okay. Senator Brown, did you have more questions?
I'm trying to figure out what we're voting on the bill as we see it in front of us, correct? But Senator Hoffman, but you're telling me it's going to change when it goes to finance?
Mr. Chair and Senator Brown, the conceptual policy piece won't change, but the gap, we acknowledge that there's a gap in that, the 4 to 5 cent gap, and that will get fixed by the time Mr. Tomasoni has this, because it's going to finance to get that fixed. And Mr. Brickwitty, that is our hope. That's our outcome is what we're going to get. So, yes.
Senator Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Hoffman, how much money are we talking about that we think this would, that the fix would generate per year for low-income weatherization help?
It's $150,000. Mr. Chair and Senator Brown, that's $150,000. 4 cents equals $150,000.
Okay. And, Mr. Chair, Senator Hoffman, would this be used statewide? Would it be specifically urban, rural? How would it be used?
You know, the Renewable Energy Grant Program is done through the Community Action, the CAP agencies that are around the state, and it is my understanding that it's currently statewide. Yes. and will maintain to be statewide. So,
and Mr. Chair, Senator Hoffman, do we know how much money they're currently receiving through other programs and federal monies and so forth?
You know, Mr. Chair and Senator Brown, I don't know the full budget of all the community action programs in the state, but I'll be more than happy to get that to you, you know, within 10 minutes of us leaving here and I get in front of a computer. I do have those numbers that, and again, the community action programs around the state are all the budgets, that money that's coming from various departments. I mean, you got, you know, your WIC programs, the food and nutrition dollars that are coming through some of those CAP agencies, and each one is set up differently according to the needs of that. You know, Scott County has one different than what Carver County would have. So, yeah, I mean, it's a pretty big budget. I can get you some different numbers. Well,
Senator Hoffman, I'm not necessarily opposed to the policy. No. I'm just trying to get my head wrapped around what we're talking about here.
Absolutely. No, I hear you, Senator Brown. Thank you.
Senator Weber.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess, if I might, in following up, I agree with Senator Sieben with her assessment that it really doesn't appear discretionary on the basis of the original language. And I guess I would tend to say that it's very clear that the money is to come out of that 81 cents and not out of the money that goes to the general fund. And I would really be my strong recommendation that it stay that way. So I just want to go on record as saying that. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, Senator Weber, thank you. I will note that as we move this forward. Thank you.
Okay. Senator Benson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And respecting Senators Weber and Sieben, Mr. Brickwitty, is the 81 cents already fully spent?
Mr. Chair, Senator Benson, currently the Department of Commerce allocates the 81 cents to the weights and measures budget.
And so, Mr. Chair and Mr. Brickwitty, so if we mandated money come out of the grants instead of the general fund, we'd have to cut the weights and measures division.
Mr. Chair, Senator Benson, effectively, yes.
Okay, thank you. And Mr. Chair, and to Senator Hoffman, looking at these grants going to the providers of weatherization service and not to the individuals acquiring them, can you help me understand, do we usually make grants to the providers or do we do it to the individuals? I know when we're talking about solar things, we incent individuals to make these actions. So I'm just trying to balance those two concepts.
You know, there's a couple of folks. Davis Mills, if we can get him back to talk about how the weatherization programs work within where New York Mills is at, and how when some folks come and they need energy assistance and the weatherization team goes out, can you maybe answer that in detail? Thank you.
There are specific guidelines that we have to meet for any of the families that are going to apply for energy assistance. Once they fill out an energy assistance application for us and they are eligible to receive energy assistance, they can then be eligible to receive weatherization services. So if they indicate that they are interested in that, that application is then sent to the weatherization departments within the different community action agencies. And each of us probably have a slightly different process for selecting that, but it is a reviewed process. And then we have a ranking of high-priority clients. We'll go to elderly, disabled, families with children, and work our way down. So there are a series of criteria that a family will have to meet before they get weatherization. It does not go to the family directly. We then go out and do an audit of the home, identify what needs to be done. Then either a community action agency will use its own installers. Some of them have their own crews. In our case, we use local contractors. We then had them bid on a job, and we paid for the installation of the systems for that household, whether it's weatherization or solar air, whatever the system is. Does that help you understand?
Yep. Thank Senator you, Benson. Mr. Chair. And Senator Hoffman, I've forgotten your testifier's last name.
It's Davis Mills.
Yeah.
Mr. Mills, how much does it cost to install one of these panels? Because the grants are for installation. So how much does it cost to install a panel?
On average, we're allowed to spend up to $6,500 to weatherize a home. These panels, depending on the home and the size of the home, it'll either be one panel or two panels. It'll run anywhere from $3,000 to $5,000 for the installation, I believe.
And that's a federal guideline,
$6,500. $6,500 is a federal guideline for our weatherization program. And you asked about some of the funding. The funding for weatherization for this fiscal year, they didn't refund it. They said use your carryover dollars, if any. So our agency, for example, got no funding, no new funding this year.
Thank you, Mr. Mills.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Mills, or perhaps Senator Hoffman, if there is some type of service that needs to be done on these panels, who would be responsible for that?
The manufacturer of the panel would be responsible for the servicing of that. And there's a warranty. Is it 10 years, Jason? I think it's a 10-year warranty on the panel itself. They're actually designed for over 20 years. We have not had, outside of, I think, a fan motor that had some issues, we haven't had issues with the panels. They're very simply designed mechanisms. So, yes, there is a warranty on that. And the contractors warrant their work for at least a year on the installation.
Mr. Chair, and Mr. Mills, is that cost of the warranty or that service call built into the price of the installation, or would that be an additional charge or fee? Or
it's built into the installation. I think so, yes.
You haven't seen any more bills after that.
Senator Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Hoffman, this bill deals specifically with the installation of renewable energy equipment. Is that a broad description of what would be eligible? Is that a fairly narrow description? What would be examples of renewable energy equipment?
That's a great question, Senator Brown. And, you know, the biomass is in there as well. I should have brought the, you get a menu, Jason? Yeah. Come on up, Jason, and
Mr. Chair, Senator Brown, when this bill first passed in 2007, it was specifically for solar thermal and biomass. And it's my understanding that most of the funds were allocated for solar thermal installations. However, I believe in the northwest part of the state there were some biomass installations as well. So either technology is acceptable from my understanding.
Okay. And, Mr. Chair, I think this is my last question. Senator Hoffman, we are voting on, tell me if I'm correct, taking 5% or designating at least 5% of the 81 cents toward this, but we've heard testimony that that 81 cents is already being used up and not being applied, and we've also been told that the fix is coming, but I have to look at what we're voting on right now. So I have some concerns to have to vote on something that said the funds already being used up and not being applied to how legislation is written, as Senator Sieben has pointed out. I just have concerns being asked to vote on something that we see we have problems with.
Mr. Chair, and Senator Brown, thank you. You know, raises a great point. One of the first thing we're voting on is to reinstate the program that's no longer there. And the second thing is there is a financial piece on this. It's $150,000, that four cents of the 81 cents. And so what I'm asking Senator Tomassoni's group to do when they get the fiscal side of this is give us that money. And so what we on policy, this is a good policy. Yeah, we've identified the gap on the finance side, but really we want to get this policy reinstated and so that we can start doing what makes sense and create a win-win. Because here's the kicker. When folks get these attached to their house, they're no longer then coming back every 5-6 years and getting more weatherization dollars. And so, you know, for us to finally take something off the tax rolls, I saw a win-win there. So, you know, help me with this. Get that $150,000, and we'll go.
And Senator Hoffman, I said earlier, I'm not necessarily opposed to that policy. Nope. I'm not. But I have a little trouble voting on something that really is a bit ambiguous when it's going to another committee, and that's sounds like it's all going to change.
Mr. Chair and Senator Brown, thank you. And the only thing that's going to change is the gap that we're there, and we're going to acknowledge that, and they're going to fix the gap in the funding. That's all. So I like this policy. Thank you for your input.
Senator Scalzi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And as I look at the bill, I think, well, we don't even need to do this bill because the legislature did that in 2007, and they designated that the money would go, some of the money would be grants for weatherization services for energy equipment. So now today we're putting in something that would require that 5%. Well, why not 20%? I mean, what I'm getting at is this is in law. Mm-hmm. And we can't evidently bring down the hammer to make the law work the way the 2007 legislature wanted it to work. That's what I see a problem with tinkering with this. It's already in law. But irrespective of that, my question is for Mr. Mill of the Community Action Agencies. I'm somewhat familiar with this because my company does weatherization, but not through Community Action Agencies. But it's my understanding that there's federal dollars that come in here. Correct me if I'm wrong. And then the second part of that question would be, most of those are loans if you live there 10 years, you don't have to pay it back. It blinks off. Or if you move out in 5 years, you have to pay back.
That's not the
Mr. Mills, go ahead. No, I'm just going to say Mr. Mills, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Mills.
It is not a loan if you're on the weatherization program. It's a grant that we've received the funding for. And once the home is approved, we do the work, it's done, and the homeowner does not pay for that. That's taken care of. So there are other programs, but not within weatherization, that might support installation of solar air equipment.
Senator Scalzi.
So thank you, Mr. Chair. So my question was, are there federal funds mixed in with this as well?
There are a variety of funds that are mixed in. In our agency, I had 19 different sources of funding that were supporting our weatherization program. We had utility funds, we had city funds, we have Department of Energy funds, and we had weatherization and energy assistance funds that would fund that. So there was a mixture of funds to cover the program, plus foundations and other grants.
Head Start.
Okay, Senator Sieben.
Mr. Chair, and I think just to try to bring some summary to this, Senator Hoffman's proposal is needed, in my understanding, and I am supportive of it because it sounds like what's happening is, as was specified in whatever year, the Commerce Department should distribute this 81 cents of the fee to these three different programs. Right now, they're distributing it all to the Division of Weights and Measures. So it is an appropriate action for our committee to take to say that at least 5% of the 81 cents should go towards the low-income weatherization. And so I think this bill actually brings clarity because it's specifying to the Department of Commerce. Now, they may not like it from what we heard because they're worried they need the additional money for their weights and measures. But it would be good policy for us to pass this because then it would direct the Department of Commerce to spend at least 5 cents of the 81 on weatherization programs. And the questions about what type of renewable energy, it's just, it looks to me like it's just Senator Hoffman's new language is just repetitive of what is already in statute. It's to make grants to providers of low-income weatherization services to install renewable energy equipment. So I, you know, if Senator Hoffman wants to continue to work with the Department of Commerce to try to come up with some shortfall they're going to have in their weights and measures division, good for him or good for the Department of Commerce. But for at least for the Energy and Environment Committee, it seems like it is good policy for us to pass this.
Mr. Chair, thank you, Senator Stephen. That's exactly the reinstating this is it's good policy. You know, Senator Tomasoni, he's going to look at the governor's budget, and then you know probably the thing will be the fee increase piece there. And I applaud the Department of Commerce for hanging in there with us as we get this moved to the next level. And I know it's going to be it'll be transparent. So, thank you.
Okay. Anything further, committee members?
I want to renew my motion to move this bill forward.
And it goes to finance. Okay.
Economic, yeah. Finance, yep.
All right. Senator Hoffman moves that this bill be passed and sent to finance. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion prevails.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members of this great committee. Have a good break.
Back tonight. Committee members. The chairman has an announcement for us.
Mr. Chair, I apologize. We thought these bills might take longer. Because we scheduled a meeting tomorrow because about three more bills we have to hear. I don't think they're going to take long, but unfortunately, we did schedule tomorrow's hearing, and we can't move them forward till now. We're going to take up Senate File 901 this evening, and I think there are about three or four bills tomorrow morning at 9. I don't think they're big time-consuming bills, but I'm sorry. We wouldn't have had to meet tomorrow if we knew we could get these done that fast. So my apologies for the
Mr. Chair, I just gathered from Senator Hoffman that we were sort of free to go.
It's called being paroled.
Okay. Now we're in recess.
We're in recess, yep.
Committee, we're in recess until
6 o'clock.
107, 6 o'clock. We're in recess.
I liked being here.